So today, kind of wrapping up, I guess, this series that we've been working on about the wonder of Christmas. And when you think about the wonder of Christmas, just this season, this time of year, as we think about all these familiar stories about Christmas, there's a wonder to it all. There's this idea that these are stories that are just repeated so that they will be memorized. There's this idea that we just tell them just to not forget them, but I think every time we read about the Christmas story, we see miracle after miracle in the way that God works. And at Christmas time, we remember, obviously, the birth of Christ, right? This baby born of a virgin by this supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. We talk about these angels and shepherds and wise men. We hear the story about how there's no room at the inn. And we think about how Jesus was born in this manger. And this manger is not near as cute as the little mangers that we see setting out all the time in our nativity sets. It wasn't a cute little manger. It was a feeding trough for animals. And we think about the humility of Christ as he was born. And again, these stories are filled with wonder. They lead us to think about God's plan for mankind. And the more we think about his plan, the more we're brought back to what Cheryl had shared earlier, his faithfulness, right? God is faithful to his plan, and he's faithful to his creation. And when we think about all these stories, and again, I keep saying stories, they are true, right? They're not fables, they're true stories. And when we reflect on them, they all point us to one thing for Christmas, the gift, right? Isn't that what Christmas is all about, the gift? Even for people who aren't Christians, isn't Christmas all about the gifts, right? Isn't that what everybody looks forward to? What kind of gifts will I receive? We spend so much time thinking about and planning and preparing for what we can give, and we spend a probably equal amount of time thinking about what we hope we will get, right? There's a lot of focus on gifts around Christmas. How many of you guys know that doesn't always come out to be even either, right? Sometimes you give a lot more than you get. Maybe you're one of those people who's blessed and you get a lot more than you give. When you think about gifts, right, some gifts are very memorable. There's probably a lot of gifts that you can remember, man, this gift was really something. But do you know that there's probably more gifts that you forgot about than there are gifts that you remember? Right? There's a lot of gifts that they just are easily forgotten. But here's one thing about gifts that I want us all to think about this morning. Every single gift, every gift that you've ever received, that you ever will receive, it cost somebody else something. Right? I mean, you might get kind of a crummy gift on, you know, according to your opinion. Like, well, that's not really very useful to me. That's not what I wanted. I was hoping for something better. But at the same time, you have to remember the fact that that gift costs somebody else something. And it cost you what? Nothing. So you really don't have a right to complain. You really don't have a right to wish it was something better. It cost you nothing. And yet someone else sacrificed something for you to have that gift, no matter how good or bad that it is. And when we think about this baby lying in a manger, church, this morning, I want to think about the fact that this was the greatest Christmas gift of all time. The greatest. I mean, I'm talking about there is no other gift that compares, because this gift, this baby in a manger, is where the redemption plan for all of mankind begins. Right here in a manger. I don't know if you guys are aware of this or not, but people tend to really mess things up. Anybody ever messed some stuff up in life? The rest of you are liars. I saw a couple late hands go up right before I said liars. You're like, I don't know what you're going to call me, but I don't want it. I will tell the truth now. See, we mess things up in our lives, and that's because our lives were created to be perfect, holy, in union with God, but sin messes that up, right? Because sin separates us from God, who is holy. And there's no way for us as people to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, with the Father. There's no way to have that relationship with him because of the sin in our lives. So what had to happen? God had to have a plan. And when we think about God's plan, it begins right here with this child in a manger. Let's look at Matthew chapter 1. I want to see what the angel had told Mary about this son that was to come. Verse 21, it says, "She will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated God with us. Right here, we see God's plan revealed. He says, "You will name him Jesus." Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. This is what he's gonna do. He's gonna save people from their sins. Hallelujah. Who's thankful for that this morning? So he tells us right off the bat, this is the plan. This is what Jesus is going to do. Now, picture this baby in a manger just not very long after, just a few months later. This baby is here for a purpose, because he is going to save God's people from their sins. Could you imagine looking at this baby and thinking, well, how in the world is this baby going to do that? I mean, you told us what you're going to do. Now, how are you going to do it? Well, he told us that too, because he said he will be called Emmanuel, which is God with us. That's the how. He's with us. See, he had to come to us. We couldn't go to God any longer because of sin, because it created a barrier, a separation. And so God came to us, with us, among us, next to us, around us. Do you see it, church? God in man's environment to make a way for man to enter back into God's environment of heaven. This is God's redemption plan, and it begins with a baby in a manger, the greatest Christmas gift of all time. Romans 6:23 tells us, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift," say gift, "the gift of God is eternal life," not just eternal life, but in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The only way to the Father, the only way to heaven. Jesus leaving heaven to be born into humanity was not his beginning. Amen? Jesus is God. Jesus is eternal. It was not his beginning, but it was the beginning of the redemption story. It was the beginning of this greatest gift that we could receive, which is eternal life in him. God is a gift giver. Amen? You may not agree with that this morning. You may be somebody who's sitting here that has a lot of needs in your life. You may be somebody who's sitting here saying, where was God when? And you could not just fill in a blank, but you could write an essay about where was God when all these things happened or are happening in my life. Maybe that's you this morning, and you don't agree that God is much of a gift giver, or maybe you think that he is, but a lot of the gifts he's given you really aren't that great. We could be honest this morning. You know, God can handle our honesty. I'm just telling you, you know, God can handle it. There's a lot of times in life we don't tell people how we really feel because we don't want to deal with how they're going to react, right? But I'll tell you what, God can handle it. It's okay. If that's how you feel this morning, let's be honest with God. You don't have to tell us. You don't have to tell your neighbor that right now. I'm just saying let's be honest with God. Maybe you don't see that, but let's just start right here at the beginning. I know for a fact that God gave you life. I know that to be a fact. I know that it is God and God alone that can create. That's a fact, right? Man and woman can do something physical to create another being, but I want to tell you something, that God still has to be in that because he is the giver of life. He has to put that heartbeat in the chest and the breath in the lungs, and he alone has the ability to create life. God gave you life. He's a pretty good giver. I'll tell you what, if he didn't give you that gift, you wouldn't have any way, reason, purpose, ability to complain about the other gifts he hasn't given you. Right? And so if we just start there and think about, you know what, even if I think my life is kind of crummy, at least God gave me this. At least I got something to start with. At least I got an ability to live a life and hope for something more. This miraculous holiday body that we're all working with right now, right? God gave you that. Now maybe you grew it, but God gave it to you, okay? He put you in it. And I tell you, the reason it exists, the reason you have a heartbeat and breath in your lungs is because God gave it to you, the gift of life. Right there, okay? God is a giver, and he's a good giver. And some of you, again, may kind of question that. Well, is my life's really not that great? Is it really a gift? Did you purchase it? Did you pay anything for it? Or was it given to you? Not only was it given to us, but I'm going to tell you this morning that there's nothing on earth that has more value than your life. There's nothing on earth that has more value than your life. You know how we know that? We know that because of what Jesus did on the cross. We know that he died on the cross because he said to each and every one who would choose him, who would receive him, who would place their faith in him, that he died for their life. And if he died for their life, there has to be tremendous value and tremendous worth in our lives, doesn't there? And so the greatest gift of all is not our life, but it is a great gift. The greatest gift of all begins with a baby that was born in a manger. And the reason is because of the effect that it's going to have on our lives as we continue on. When we think about Christmas gifts, many people make up these lists of what they want. Does anybody in here make a list of what they want? I mean, come on. If you're not making a list, you're going to get a bunch of junk you don't want. Start making lists. That's why you're complaining. Make a list. You know? I mean, let's get real. Nobody wants to guess what you want, all right? We make these lists of things that we want. Now, sometimes it's something that you want that you can't afford, right? If you look at my list, it's a bunch of stuff that I can't afford, right? That's why it's on the list. If I could afford it, I'd just buy it, all right? It's a bunch of stuff I want that I can't afford. Sometimes maybe even you can afford it, but you don't necessarily want to spend your money on it, right? You're like, you know what? I want that. You pull out your wallet and you're like, I want it, but I don't want it that bad. Now, if Donald will buy it for me, I'll take it. But if I gotta buy it, I'm like, I'll wait and see if Donald gets it for me for Christmas. Right? You might want it. You don't want to spend your money on it. You know, I want it, but not bad enough that I want to sacrifice for it. See, these gifts that we want. Here's the thing about gifts that we want. There's a lot of times we want gifts just to have them. we just want it. Well, what are you going to do with it? I don't know. I just want it. How many of you guys have received gifts that you never even did anything with it? I mean, come on. You'd be like, that thing's, you might have took it out of the package, maybe. You might have put batteries in it. You might have tore the tags off. But it turns out a couple years later, you find that thing and you're like, huh, I forgot about that. And it was something you wanted. And you didn't even do anything with it. What about your kids? Okay, think about all the toys and the things that kids ask for. Man, mom, dad, this is all I want for Christmas. And then 2 months later, you find it buried in the bottom of the closet, and then 2 or 3 years later, you're trying to stick it in the Connection Church clothing giveaway, and they're like, you can't get rid of that. That's the greatest toy that I got in 2014. And you're like, well, how come you haven't played with it since 2014? Right? But that's how we are. We got all these things that we want, but half the time, we don't even do anything with it. There's an issue when we want gifts. When we want gifts, the reason we're so easily, accepting of them, but also dismissive of them at the same time is because they don't cost us anything. Church, they don't cost us. If something doesn't cost you anything, it typically has less value in your life because you didn't give anything up for it. The risk to you is minimal. Give it to me. If I don't like it, I'm not out anything. I'm back to where I was at. Who cares, right? It doesn't matter that much. And if we're not out anything, right? If the thing isn't as cool as we thought it would be, right? I remember getting one of those, the little flying helicopters. Does anybody remember when those were really cool a few years back? A little bitty remote control helicopters that you could not fly those things indoor for nothing. Like if you flied it indoor, something or somebody was getting hurt. But we did. We flew them indoors. You know where mine's at? I found it the other day. This is like 5 years ago or something. I got this thing. I found it downstairs, like on top of the computer that has a door in front of it with paper stacked on top of it. And that's all I wanted for Christmas that year. I just wanted that little helicopter to fly it around. I tried it a couple times. It stunk. It kept crashing. The propellers kept breaking off, and I had to put them back on. It was a total pain in the neck. Ran for like 18 seconds, and then you had to recharge it for 3 weeks, you know? And I'm like, well, that thing's stupid, you know? But somebody gave me that gift. It wasn't really stupid, I'm just telling you, I'm just being real. That when you don't have the investment in it, it's easy to just stash it away on the shelf if it costs you nothing. Now, when we got gifts that we want, that's one thing, but what about gifts that we need? What about receiving gifts that we need? You know, as a kid, We always, always, always had socks in our stocking. My mom always put socks in our stocking. Every year, no matter what. Didn't matter if I needed them or not, there was going to be socks in my stocking. And I'm going to tell you, I was never mad about it. Like, I didn't wake up and I was like, oh, stupid socks. I mean, it was like, it's what we got. We got socks and candy. New socks and candy, right? So we got these socks and this candy, and I wasn't mad about it, but I'll be honest, I wasn't too excited about it either. I was just getting the socks out to get to the candy that was in the bottom of the stocking. But you know, socks do wear out at some point, right? And I'm gonna need more, and so now I have them. And when I have socks, when my others wear out and I need them, you know, I was never in desperate need of socks. Like, I never had that sock, you know, drought or whatever. It was like, man, I'm wearing all these tattered socks. They got all these holes in them. But here's the thing. I was always given what I needed. But because I was constantly given what I needed, I never really knew that I needed them. Like, I didn't know that I needed socks because I always had socks. And so it's not that I didn't appreciate these socks, but I can assure you that they were not what I wanted for Christmas, right? I didn't put socks on my list, and usually the things I got excited about were the things that I wanted. The things that I wanted. I think most of us are in that boat, aren't we? Don't we get excited about the things that we want? And when we view Jesus' birth as the opening of a gift, what I'm afraid of is that we tend to see this gift of this child as a gift that we want instead of a gift that we need. And let me clarify what I mean by that. When we think about Jesus as this gift that we want, we tend to think about what he has to offer us right now, right here in this life. How can I be blessed? Right? What can I have from him? I want blessing. I want favor. I want healing. I want a good life. Right? These are the things we tend to see in this gift of this child when we think about it in terms of gifts that we want. But Jesus gives good gifts to all of mankind to a degree, right? Matthew 5:45, he tells us, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust. So God is a giver of gifts to all, right? He gave life to us all. He makes the sun rise on us all, sends the rain upon us all. God is a gift giver. He gives life, but then he also provides all that's necessary to continue to live. And he does that for everyone. He's a blessing God. Psalm 103, verse 1 and 2 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Right? God is so good to all of us. To all of us. Even those who reject him and deny him, God is still good even to them. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that such evidence of God's goodness and his giving heart? God has given great gifts time and time again all throughout the history of mankind. But this gift of this child is the best gift. Why? Why is Jesus the greatest Christmas gift of all? Well, there's a reason, and the reason is because he is really what we need the most. And not only is he what we need the most, he's actually the thing that we want the most. It's just that we often don't realize it. In John chapter 4, we see this story of this woman at the well. Many of you may know the story inside and out, but some of you may not know it, but Jesus, as he's traveling, he stops at this well to rest. Jesus got tired, right? He got weary in his physical body, and so he stops there to rest, and as he's resting, this woman comes, and she comes to draw out some water. And so here she is with her bucket, getting ready to get some water. In John chapter 4, verse 10, Jesus says to her, "If you knew the gift of God," say gift of God, "if you knew the gift of God and who it was who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." He tells this woman that what she's missing in her life is that she doesn't know the gift of God. Now, this woman was not a woman living a very good life. This woman, in fact, was living a life that was pretty dark and full of disappointment and without hope, right? Said that she'd been married 5 times, and now she's with another guy who she's not married to, and he's basically like, "I kind of know what your life is like. You're constantly seeking and searching and finding disappointment and starting over and seeking and searching over and over." And she comes to this well, church, to get water. Now, how many of you know we need water, right? It wasn't that she went there for something she didn't need. She went there to meet a need in her life. But what happens is she goes there thinking she's going to meet this need of water. And what she finds is that she had a much greater need in her life that she was unaware of. She had a much greater need. And she has an encounter with Jesus. And she heard of the greatest gift of all. And her response in verse 15 says, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw." All of a sudden, this woman, who's faced with the greatest gift of all, she has a realization that while she came for water, she got something much greater. See, sometimes we get what we want, and we realize it's not what we need. Right? We get what we want and we realize it's not what we need. Other times we get what we need and it turns out that it's really what we wanted all along. This woman had been searching. Her soul had been longing for something that she was trying to fill with men. Her soul was longing, trying to find satisfaction, trying to find joy, trying to find purpose, trying to find fulfillment, trying to find something. And you don't go through all of that heartache and that starting over again and again and again for no reason, church. Apply that to whatever it is in our lives that we keep doing over and over and over and over, trying to meet an internal need. You don't go through that heartache for nothing. You go through it because you're searching for something that you're not finding. Her soul longed to be loved. And her soul longed to be loved with a love that man could not provide. Church, that's the truth for all of us. Right? That's the truth for all of us. Deep down, at the end of the day, our soul is longing to know the love of God. The love of God, not the love of man. That's great. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying the thing that's eternal is the love of God. The thing that satisfies the deepest parts of our being is the love of God. Our heart longs to know it. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He gave. What does that sound like? Sounds like a gift to me. He gave. You can't purchase it. You can't earn it. He gave it. It's a gift. And what do you have to do for a gift to be yours? Right? You have to receive it. You have to receive it. Now, how do you receive it? Well, in this case, you receive it when you believe it. And you believe it by grace through faith. More gifts from God. Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. Why? It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Right? It's the gift of God. God gives you even the faith to believe. And the grace is that Jesus paid for you what you could not, which is the price for your sin. The greatest gift, church, wasn't placed under a tree, but he was nailed to one. That's the greatest gift. And that's why when we think about this child in this manger, how this greatest gift begins to unfold a redemption story, but it's one that ends up on a cross, nailed to it for our sin, for our shame, to give us not just life, but to give us new life in Jesus Christ. What a gift, church. That is, he was raised from the dead, hallelujah. That he's no longer on a cross, but as he was raised from the dead, that in him we can be changed forever, right? So he paid the price for our sin. He offers us salvation, but he also offers us a new life. I like to think of Jesus as the gift that keeps on giving, right? Because he's not on that tree anymore. That when he rose from the grave, he defeated hell, death, and the grave. Amen? He defeated it and sent his Spirit to dwell in us, to lead us, to guide us. And there's a day, church, there's a day that's already written in history that he's coming back for his bride. That's us. That's the church. That's the redeemed. That's those that look at the manger and they see a gift that they need, a gift of redemption, a gift of restoration, a gift of salvation, a gift of life and life more abundantly. Jesus is King. Jesus is God, and Jesus will save. And Christmas is the time of year, church, that we need to refocus our hearts on this gracious gift that God has given us. And it's through our celebration that we demonstrate our joy for that gift, that Jesus truly is the greatest gift. Jesus as King. Do you know in the Old Testament that the kings would sometimes give gifts to the people? This doesn't make sense to us today. Our presidents don't usually give us too many gifts, right? But the kings would give gifts to the people. Why would they give gifts to the people? They would give gifts to the people strictly because of the generosity of the king. Jesus, the greatest gift of all, was given to us not because of what we've done, not because of who we are, but just simply because of the generosity of our God. 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Indescribable. When you are opening gifts this year, there's probably a lot of gifts you're going to be able to describe. You're going to be able to explain it. You're going to be able to tell about it. But I'm going to tell you, this gift of Jesus Christ, it's so amazing that it's truly indescribable. You can try to put into words what this gift means, but I'm going to tell you, there's no words that we can use in the known language that give God the full glory for what he has given us. There's nothing that meets that fullness, but I'm going to tell you what, we have a call upon our lives to not just receive it, but also to tell about it. Amen? If you guys would stand with me and let's pray. And what we're going to do here, we are going to wrap up a little different today with the kids program finishing us up, but I just want you to bow your heads, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to lead us in a prayer here in just a second. But Father, I just thank you and praise you. Lord, I thank you, first of all, for your word, that your word is truth. And so, God, we come back to your word. We come back to not just these stories to remember this time of year, but, Lord, we come back to find life in your word. We come back to find truth in your word. We come back to find your heart for us in your word. And so we thank you for that this morning. God, we thank you for this gift of this child born in a manger, this gift of the beginning of an unfolding of a redemption story for all of your creation. Lord, that without Jesus, we're all lost. Without Jesus, we're all hopeless. Without Jesus, we could live a good life according to the terms of man, but it's going to be a short life. It's going to be a miserable afterlife. We thank you that through Christ Jesus, that we can be redeemed, that we can be restored, that we can be reconciled to our Father in heaven. And so we thank you for that plan. We thank you for this gift this morning, and we receive this gift. Church, if you believe this morning, I just want you to repeat after me. Jesus, this morning, I find myself in need of the gift. And today, I receive the gift of redemption. Forgive me of my sins. I know that I fall short. I know that I'm not enough. But I know that you are. I believe you died for me. I believe you rose from the grave. I believe you overcame. And I believe that in you, that I am saved. That I am born again, that I'm not who I was, but I am a new creation. The old has passed away, and I am yours. Fill me with your spirit and lead me in a life that is pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen.